started in
like me, Justice and Drew, they sure make quite a team. I could listen to them all day long. This is the sound of their show. This is the sound. I'm giddier than a schoolgirl every time I tune in. I can't wait for Sam to bring her top five. It's the best reason to get out of bed. It's time for Justice and Drew. It's time for Justice and Drew.
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
A lovely day.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Wednesday. And we have a fresh new edition of Justice and Drew to deliver to you this morning.
Those are all true statements.
Yes, it's very exciting. Good show on tap today. I am Drew. That man over there is John Justice.
Hello.
Good morning. And in there pushing our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls at 651-989-5855 is the lovely, talented, and radiant Samantha Sansevier. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
We had a... after the show ended yesterday, we had a no guest show laid out. A lot of ideas being bandied about, you know, maybe bring some people on because we didn't have anybody on deck. So we're going to be joined by Americans for Prosperity, you know, Jason Flores, right around 7 o'clock. Looking forward to talking with him. I really want to get his thoughts on the end of the legislative session as we wait for decisions from Big Jerk Governor Mark Dayton, and then also Senator Karen Housley.
Yep.
There was a lot of controversy over the elder care abuse and what did and didn't happen. Talked about it a bit yesterday, but she's been central in working those things through, and I know some stuff was done, so kind of felt it was important that, you know, we get her on.
Yep.
She's got some stuff going on with her campaign as well, some announcements this week. And then
out of nowhere.
Yeah, you like dropped this just like out of the blue. I get this text, we're talking about guests, and like this name pops up. And it's like a brief moment where I went, There is only one.
It's not like a representative from like northern Minnesota.
Right.
Heard of.
Yeah. It's like some dude from the Iron Range, you know. And I'm like,
I got a text from the guy that runs the House of Comedy and said, let me know that Jeremy Piven was in town and was wondering if we'd like to have him on the show this morning to promote his appearance at the House of Comedy.
Dude.
Yeah.
Jeremy Flippin' Piven.
I know, right?
And it's just, that dude occupies so much of my movie space at home, of my movie collection. It is unbelievable how that guy was pivotal in my dark years.
He's played some really cool parts over the course of
his career. All of his parts are cool.
And he's going to be at the House of Comedy tonight, Wednesday night, the 23rd. Doors at 6:30. Show at 7:30. Tickets are $30. You can find out more information by going to the House of Comedy website, houseofcomedy.net.
And he's
going to be in studio.
Yeah,
he's not even going to be like a phoner.
I thought
studio.
That it was going to be a phoner.
No.
And then when you said in studio, I don't normally geek out. I'm going to geek all over him.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he needs to prepare for it. I'm going to let him know. Maybe Sam brings him in, let him know, hey, John's a big fan.
I'll tweet at him.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He's like on the list to go to my cool people party.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. It's the best. He's so great. It's so funny though, because you want to go like from the degrees of Justice and Drew. We were kind of going, hey, it's cool. We're texting back and forth, Sam. And are you, first off, do you know who Jeremy Piven is?
I do now.
Did you ever watch Entourage?
No, well, not really. It's a little bit before my time.
Yeah, I know. It's all of it. The dude's awesome.
I am familiar with it, though. So, and, like, his face, when I see his face, he looks a little familiar.
So Drew tweets, I get to ask him about PCU, to which I respond with, I get to ask him about Serendipity. He's fantastic in that movie. He's great in all the movies he's in. I mean, even when he shows up in Black Hawk Down. I mean, spoiler alert, he dies, but he's great at that.
Why is that necessary?
If you haven't seen Black Hawk Down, then it's too bad. But yeah, but he's great in that.
Yeah, he's good. I love the character Ari Gold from Entourage, one of my favorite characters in any show. Just a fantastic character. And PCU was kind of a pivotal movie for me because that was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was before the idea of political correctness running amok had really taken root. And this idea that there's this this college campus where the politically correct culture has taken over to such an absurd degree was years ahead of its time.
Yeah. I Gross Point Blank is one of my all time favorite films ever. I absolutely love that movie. And I mean, he plays a fantastic part. And it was funny because in my head, I'm going, man, he's been in so many movies, and looking at his bio, and I went, I forgot Very Bad Things. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to hate us. Or is he going to hate me?
We're just going to be like, we used to be like Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Remember that movie you were in?
Yeah.
That was cool.
We could totally like be friends.
And the show that was cool too.
Yeah, this is great. The Goods. Yeah. I really like that movie.
You were on Ellen.
So
that was cool.
So what was it like?
You were on Ellen, and now you're on with us.
What was it like with Old School? What was that like?
What's it like to be cool?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, he's not coming in now. I hope he's not listening.
I think we probably just ruined it.
Anyway,
that'll be the last segment of the show this morning. Yeah. So preparing you for the geeking out that will happen in the final segment of today's show.
We need to get to your top five, Sam. Before we do that, coming up in just a moment, I know that you mentioned a moment ago that you do have a tailgating story to share with us, right?
Yeah, I do.
Hold off. Finish up your scouring, and then we can get to your tailgating story. Okay.
Plus, the president has been up. The president has been tweeting. We will update you on all that. Plus, Sam's top five coming up.
Justice in.
Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew. We got Sam's top five on the way a little bit later on in the hour. This story out of the City Pages of Tommy Lahren's visit to Minneapolis, as covered by Mike Mullen, I used this word a lot recently, but it really is infuriating.
I was very angry when I saw that story, not just because it happened, and we'll get to the details of what happened to Tommy Lahren. She had her event, and she decided that she would enjoy a nice brunch in Minneapolis. That turns out to be a big mistake after what happened. But the just the fact that it happened, and then the snarky sort of justification tone that they wrote about it with,
right,
really, really irritated me.
I mean, look, it goes without saying, but I do not like this world that we currently live in, where people are deciding to create their own justifications for things that they see that other people may not like. And this is a perfect example of that.
Do that to another human being, just being out and about, just because they happen to have said some things that you didn't like, or hold an opinion that you disagree with, and you think it's okay, not okay, hilarious.
Right. But
you essentially assault them.
And both things are are frustrating because there's what actually happened to her. And again, we'll get into it after Sam's Top 5. But then also Mike Mullen from the City Page's response.
Yeah.
And look, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine with you having an opinion. You're allowed to have an opinion. No problem with that. But boy, you're a jerk. you're just an irrational, hypocritical jerk. Because based off of what he wrote, based off of what Mike Mullen, the City Pages wrote, apparently
it's okay.
For example, if I am, let's say, offended by what Mike Mullen wrote, then I guess by his standard, if I were to run into him in public, he would be fine with me throwing something at his face.
Yeah. If that's the standard.
That's the standard.
Right. If I could find a handful of articles that he's wrote where he's made comments that offended me,
right.
That I disagreed with, then by the standard that he has sort of laid out in his article, next time you see him out, throw a drink at him.
God, they feel so justified. They just feel like they're so justified.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah, because
we don't like her.
Right, right.
No, you know, and,
she said a bunch of things in public.
And we're so cocooned in our own little bubble. If we don't like her, then nobody likes her.
Right, right.
We'll get into the details, and we'll read you this awful piece of garbage article that Mike Mullen wrote.
Sam, make us feel better real quick and tell us about your tailgating story.
Yeah, I was driving into work.
She's like all
morning.
Happy. She's like all giddy. Like,
well, because
it happened to me too.
I showed him.
or them. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was a dude. So I was just, you know, minding my own business, driving to work, whatever. I don't normally get tailgated, but it's like my standard for tailgating generally is if I can't see their license plate, then you're way too close.
Sure.
Like, you're way too close. Like, I have a Chevy Malibu, which has a pretty short back end.
Right.
So it's like, if I can't see your license plate when you're behind me, like, you are way too close.
We have pretty much the same standard, and we talked about that last time we carpooled together.
So I'm driving, and there's this big red Ford pickup truck driving down 55 this morning. If that was you, you're a jerk. And so we're going like... Jeez. It's like a whole mile, and he's that close, and I'm like, and it was enough that I noticed it. Like, normally I don't really care,
right?
And then I'm coming up to a stoplight, and I'm starting to slow down, and he's still that close, and so I just like for like a good, I mean, like at least 100 yards, I'm just like tap on my brakes.
Nice, I'm so proud of you.
And then I just like when I finally get close to the stoplight, I just like hit him.
Yeah.
And then he slowed down and then veered off and went into the next lane and then proceeded to weave through traffic for like a good half mile.
Of course he did. Of course
he
did.
Yeah. I assumed to get away from me because he was so scared.
It's probably Mike Mullen from the City Pages.
I showed him my brake chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
But I gave him a good warning. I was like, I mean, it was a long time of like tap, 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 tap,
yeah,
tap.
Yeah, yeah.
Tap.
No, I don't do the tap, tap. I set him up. I wait for the proper brake checking, moment.
Like, I don't want to get rear-ended. Like, I'm not going to just like my brakes.
You know, you practice enough.
I did it long enough, it was like super obnoxious. And I was just like,
I don't understand the rationale. I just back up a car length.
And it was a huge truck too. I mean, this thing was big and it was lifted and it was giant. And I'm like, leave me alone. I'm just minding my own business. And he obviously wasn't in a rush because like he didn't, once he was like past other cars, it's like he just found somebody else to tailgate.
Yeah, I know.
Like he didn't like pass them.
Right.
He didn't pass because there was like an open lane. He didn't pass them to go faster. So it's not like he was in a rush. He was just a tailgater.
He likes to be close to people.
I haven't landed on what's worse because they both tick me off. But like when somebody's tailgating me and they end up going around and they tailgate somebody else, I kind of go, okay, you're just a jerk. But then when they go around me and they don't tailgate somebody else, I just go, oh, okay, well, let's, you know, they're both just kind of.
Do you take it more personally? Then?
I find it depends on my mood at the time, you know, and the circumstances and the level of traffic. I know we got to get to the five, but I actually find that more often than not, when I look at the person driving the car that's tailgating me, it's a female. It's really weird. That's not a man versus woman thing. It's just an observation. I'm surprised because I just be better than that. All right. Well, I'm sorry that happened, but I'm glad that you did your civic duty.
Thank you.
Let's get right into Sam's top five for a Wednesday.
Number 1.
Trump has suggested that his whole summit with North Korea's Kim could be delayed. And also, this is a headline from the Associated Press, and as a side note, I feel like referring to Kim Jong-un as North Korea's Kim is kind of like saying United States Donald, which is weird. Do you know what I mean?
That's an interesting observation, yeah.
From the Associated Press, President Donald Trump suggested yesterday that a planned historic meeting with North Korea's leader could be delayed. He said there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out for June 12th. Trump raised the possibility that the meeting could be pushed back during a White House meeting with South Korea President Moon Jae-in, trying to coordinate strategy as concerns mounted over ensuring a successful outcome for the North Korea summit. Trump told reporters, if it doesn't happen, maybe it happens later. Reflecting recent setbacks and efforts to bring about reconciliation between the two Koreas. The North pulled out of a planned peace talks with the South last week, objecting to long-scheduled joint military exercises between U.S. and the Republic of Korea forces. And the North threatened to abandon the planned Trump-Kim meeting over U.S. insistence on denuclearization of the peninsula, and issuing a harshly worded worded missive that the White House dismissed as a negotiation ploy.
And it probably was. And it probably is. I mean, I think a lot of what we're seeing here is sort of the public face of a lot more things that are happening behind the scenes. And that also involve China and the trade talks with China. I do think that China is pulling some strings here and has a pretty significant degree of influence when it comes to the decisions that are made by the Kim Jong-un regime. I don't know that, but I believe that to be true. So there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah, the press, in my opinion here, the press is just keen to kind of put pieces together that don't necessarily mean that they're related to one another. I was reading on Twitter this morning, apparently there's a group of journalists that are heading into North Korea today to one of the nuclear sites. So North Korea is showing a willingness to allow some journalists to come into the country as we move forward on these particular talks. And it's not surprising. When I saw the headline, I went, okay, well, you know, it doesn't surprise me. As you said, there's a lot of moving parts in this, and if it happens, you know, and I think it's going to happen, fantastic. But I also am not surprised that there could be some delays in figuring out the timing.
Yeah, I still feel like this will happen. I still feel pretty optimistic that this will happen. Even if it doesn't, though, it doesn't diminish the significant progress that has been made.
Right.
In our relationship with North Korea and the relationship between North and South Korea. We will continue with Sam's Top 5 right after this.
Justice.
Hello. Twin Cities News Talk.
Hi.
AM 1130.
Hi.
103.5 FM.
Hi.
Welcome back to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew.
We like, do radio.
There's like one person out there that's getting that reference. Hi. Can you please stop saying hi?
Jason Flores from Americans for Prosperity joining us just before 7 o'clock this morning, beginning of the next segment. Senator Karen Housley at 7:35, and Jeremy Piven at 8:35 this morning. Very excited.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna tackle him.
No.
Don't do that.
Please.
He's awesome. I think he'd like it.
I'm going to see if he wants to go to the Twins game with me today.
This is,
okay.
This is one of those rare moments where I am. This is very rare, but I am legitimately, like, I hope he is as cool as my headcanon of Jeremy Piven.
What if he comes in and he's just
characters are.
I think that he is. I watched some stuff of him yesterday just kind of doing things, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope my headcanon of Jeremy Piven matches the real Jeremy Piven.
Minneapolis is making some national news right now on Fox News. Tommy Lahren is responding to what happened to her when she decided to just go out and enjoy a meal in Minneapolis, and ends up getting basically assaulted. We're going to spend some time on that a little later in the show.
Yeah. Apparently, Mike Mullen of the City Pages thinks that her uniquely bleached brand of trolldom is makes it okay for people to do that.
It's okay.
Uniquely bleached brand of trolldom. Way to like blonde shame there. That's nice of you.
But we are in the midst, speaking of blondes, in the midst of Sam's top five
nice.
For a Wednesday.
Number Sue.
There's a sinkhole developing on the White House lawn.
What does this mean?
It's what happens when you drain the swamp.
You have no idea. All right, you win.
That
I'm done.
Good.
I'm
okay.
out.
Okay, that's
I'm,
it.
I'm
that's
out.
It. Number three.
Number three.
It's not a very big sinkhole, by the way. It's a very small sinkhole. People are making a very big deal about the sinkhole. It's not a very big sinkhole, but man, there were so many articles about it this morning.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
How apropos for this president.
Did you see that comedy, This Is the End? It doesn't bode well for the rest of us.
We will circle back to number two instead of actually moving on to number three and give you a little bit more detail. From the Hill, a sinkhole has developed in the White House North Lawn. Voice of America's Steve Herman and Breitbart's Charlie Spearing shared photos on Twitter of the sinkhole, which is located just outside the entrance of the briefing room. Herman noted that the hole has grown larger by the day, and the divot appeared to be cordoned off by police tape and cones.
Okay, look, you can't do sinkhole and then call it a divot. That's not a divot.
It's definitely a sinkhole, but it's like a giant. I guess you could describe it as like a giant divot. Like,
yeah, but I mean,
did you see the pictures?
Yeah. I mean, divots are usually
just like a little indent.
Reserved for polo matches, and you need to go and fix the divots that have been created because of the sticks.
This is a bigger divot than that.
You know, the polo sticks.
According to USA Today, the National Park Service, which apparently oversees the White House grounds, said it is monitoring the situation and plans to bring in experts to determine a remedy. And what do you do with a sinkhole? Just fill it in?
Well, it depends on how deep it goes.
Like, does it just turn into a black hole?
I don't know. We get a lot of... when I was in Florida, Florida has, like, the aquifer is, like, I don't know, about 4 inches below ground level.
I have no idea what any of those words mean.
I gotcha.
You get a lot of sinkholes in Florida.
Yeah.
So you would think I would have some experience with them. I don't. I've never like had a personal experience with a sinkhole, so I don't know what you do with them.
There's the National Park Service spokeswoman. Her name is Jenny Anzalmo-Sarles. She said in an email, sinkholes like this one are common occurrences in the Washington area following heavy rain like the D.C. metro area has experienced in the last week. We do not believe it poses any risk to the White House or is representative of a larger problem.
Oh, man,
that would be crazy.
Representative of a larger problem.
Well, what would that be?
Sinkholes are uniquely representative of one problem.
what would like a larger problem be to the White House? Like,
yeah, falling into it.
Yeah, like the White House is just going to collapse into a sinkhole.
How great would it be if it erupted?
This is going to be like the next Gerard Depardieu movie.
Suddenly, there's just a volcano where the White House stands.
Yeah. Kilauea's reach. It's D.C. It's the end times.
White House down, part two.
We joke now, but next week, if there's actually a volcano, I'll peace out. That is too much for me.
Did you guys see have you seen the images of the lava flow in Kilauea? It's about to swallow up that thermonuclear plant over there.
What happened?
It's like right
happens?
you can't stop it. Like they're just everyone's just staring at it going, I don't know what to do.
What do you do?
What do you do?
You can't build a lava levee.
No.
What are you gonna say? Yeah. Like bad lava, bad. Go home.
Number three.
The law firm of Stormy Daniels' attorney has been hit with a $10 million judgment that I don't think has anything to do with anything other than this person.
No, it's just fun to point it out because Avenatti's a socket wrench.
Right. From the LA Times, Avenatti, who has blamed the unpaid taxes on an unnamed payroll company, accused the Los Angeles Times of purposefully confusing me with a separate legal entity that has no role in the Daniels case.
I love that line. They purposefully confused me. That makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's two words.
I'm so confused.
You would think that an attorney would like use better language.
Nah.
A law firm of Stormy Daniels' attorney, Michael Avenatti, was hit with a $10 million judgment yesterday in U.S. bankruptcy court after he broke his promise to pay $2 million to a former colleague. Judge Catherine Bauer of U.S. bankruptcy court in Santa Ana ordered his name is Egan? First name Egan. That story, I think
that's the law firm.
Yeah,
Egan
Avenatti's law firm.
Okay, so she ordered Egan Avenatti to pay the $10 million to Jason Frank, a lawyer who used to work at the Newport Beach firm. Bauer said at a brief hearing, "At this point, that's what's appropriate." To settle his law firm's bankruptcy, Avenatti personally guaranteed in December that it would pay Frank $4.85 million, but he and Egan Avenatti failed to pay the first $2 million installment that was due last week, triggering Tuesday's judgment. The firm is also delinquent on over $440,000 in back taxes, penalties, and interest that Avenatti promised would be paid last week. So this guy has a lot of money that he owes, and
he's
like a jerk.
Everybody's treating him, you know, with this level of respect that he just doesn't deserve.
No,
I mean,
he
this
seems
guy,
like a slime.
Yeah,
ball.
The guy's had problems for a long, long time dealing with his dealings, yep. And in normal circumstances, he would be getting properly criticized for that, and probably also not be taken as seriously as he is.
Avenatti's tax troubles did date back nearly a decade. He paid his unpaid 2009 and 2010 income taxes led the IRS to put a $904,000 lien years later on all of his personal property. Avenatti said the lien was placed in error. No taxes were due and the issue was resolved many months ago. But the lien remained open as recently as last month. And that's according to the Orange County Clerk Recorder's Office. Tax debts and unpaid bills have also saddled Avenatti's coffee business.
Yep.
He and a partner bought Tully's Coffee in 2013 for $9 million. Which seems reasonable. Multiple landlords have sued back rent or eviction of Tully's stores.
Jeez.
Every Tully's outlet has closed.
This guy sucks.
He sucks at everything.
He's awful. Why would that be? Like, Stormy Daniels is like, that's my attorney.
Yeah, of course it would be.
Right? Yeah, it somehow seems fitting.
Well, you know, she's got such a track record of excellent judgment calls.
Yeah, right. Right now, that's true. That's fair. Additionally, there is kind of a somewhat related story just with a Stormy Daniels tie-in here. West Hollywood is going to present Stormy Daniels with the key to the city.
What?
Yeah. So ridiculous.
Yeah.
The justification's what makes it, though. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
It just gets worse
the
and worse.
The key to the city? How proud they must be.
Oh, they're, like, too proud. From The Hill, the mayor of West Hollywood, California, will join city officials today to present adult film star Stormy Daniels with a key to the city.
Hey, good job sleeping with Donald Trump. You slept with Donald Trump. That's awesome. Here's a key to the city. That's the only reason she's famous.
Right. It just gets worse and worse. In the press release, city officials recognize Daniels for her leadership in the hashtag resist movement. And
let her be the leader. Please, please make her the poster woman for the hashtag resist movement.
They also noted that the city has previously passed resolutions calling for articles of impeachment to be introduced against President Trump. Daniels, the release reads, has, quote, proven herself to be a profile and courage by speaking truth to power, even under threats to her safety and extreme intimidation. Oh,
the only way she was courageous is if she actually did sleep with Trump.
That's the only way you can say she was courageous.
Like, yeah. I'll grant you that. For the guy that I actually voted for, happily. I'll grant you the level of courageous. West Hollywood is its own brand
of nutty.
You
stood on the precipice of that decision and you were like, all right, I'll do this. Oh. Sure.
But
why not?
It gets better. Parachuting sounds a lot better. The city will also proclaim May 23rd as Stormy Daniels Day. In her honor.
Oh my gosh.
How do you celebrate
I mean, this
sounds like something in South Park.
Well, you know.
Like South Park.
What do you get your significant other for Stormy Daniels Day?
Unbelievable.
People have lost their damn
minds. On a quick side note, I don't know what age I actually went and figured this out. This wasn't a young age, but seeing people being...
Where is this going?
Well, because seeing people as a kid, seeing people in movies, and then seeing stories of people who were given the key. I've never told this before. I thought that when somebody was honored with a key to the city, that it was an actual key that opened up any doors to a government facility. like you were so great and trusted now had a key
to
everywhere in the city.
Which would like make no sense because why would they need a key to everything?
Right? But I just thought like wow, we trust you so much.
Or we just want to show you
How much we trust you by giving you the key to the entire city.
That is like the cutest little baby John Justice mindset.
I don't think it was that baby. I mean, I think they're mine.
Little teen
John Justice.
Little teen John.
Number 4.
get ready for some thunderstorms and temperatures in the 90s. And don't complain about it because it's way better than blizzards.
Says yeah. Sam.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Sam has declared.
I'm just saying.
I hereby declare this is better than a blizzard. So shut your pie hole.
From the Pioneer Press, now's the time to plug in the air conditioning units. You're going to need them.
I've been running mine for a while. I like things nice and cozy.
First, you like things cozy. The first 90-degree day of the year looks like it could come this week. After highs expected near 80 and 84 Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, the Twin Cities could warm up to near 91 tomorrow. Friday also looks to be hot with a high near 92. The warmth sticks around through Memorial Day with highs near 88, 84, and 85 on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's good news for barbecues, according to this story from the Pioneer Press. It looks like it will be mostly sunny skies over the holiday weekend, but there are chances for rain Saturday night and Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be a warm few days.
Oh, yeah. Some thunder and lightning could be rolling through, too, with Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday all having chances for thunderstorms.
Nature's incredible, man. I was noticing outside the house, got a big old tree in our front yard. It is full. I mean, and just you consider it was just a handful of weeks ago that we were sitting middle of that blizzard. It's just insane.
Yeah. It was like, it was like 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we had no leaves on the trees.
Number 5.
Montreal is looking to ban plastic water bottles in city buildings. Seems reasonable.
In city buildings.
Well, that's probably the only thing they have the jurisdiction over.
Oh, gotcha.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know how Canada works. From CBC News. Now that single-use plastic bags have been banned in Montreal, City Hall is setting its sights on getting rid of other kinds of plastic, too. Next week, Ensemble Montreal, the opposition
party.
It's
Ensemble.
Ensemble Montreal.
Ensemble Montreal.
Is that
I think that's how you have to say it.
Legitimate question that's kind of dumb. Is this the region?
Ensemble Montreal.
Stop, you're creeping me out.
Is that like your French accent?
Yeah, I don't know what
that's like
is
legit there. French, all right? I took a year in high school. Je m'appelle Drew.
Okay, Ensemble Montreal. The opposition party will table a motion to ban the sale of 500 milliliter water bottles, which literally I have no idea how much water that is.
Stupid metric system.
Yeah, the metric system really is dumb.
I mean, 500 milliliters could be like 6 gallons. It could be.
I don't think so.
I think it's your standard.
Montreal is dragging around 6 gallon jugs of water.
They'd like to be hydrated. I don't know.
Maybe that's why they're banning them. It's causing back problems.
Takes up too much space.
Like, it actually has nothing to do with plastic. It's just like,
right.
Stop rolling your barrels of water into the building.
Oh, I just gave myself the hiccups. Whew. City Councilor Francisco Miel, which I'm definitely pronouncing wrong, said, "We want Montreal." "We want Montreal to set an example."
We have to finish it. Jason Flores is out in the elevator bay.
The proposal wouldn't apply. I can't get through this story.
I think we got it covered. I really do. I know
Montreal's dumb.
My Montreal's stupid. Don't go to Canada and don't bother with the metric system. That's the takeaway.
Excellent job, Sam.
Good job.
Stellar top 5. Go. Montreal sucks. Just, Jason Flores.
$30 million.
Just end
something,
it.
Something.
Justice.